Okay, I believe that was the bell. Now, I gave you an assignment. Said you had to have it done. And so we're going to see if you did. Here in my beautiful new grade book. Okay, I'm going to call your name, and if you did the assignment, say yes. If you did not do the assignment, say no. Jana? Anita? Okay. Terry? Tracy? Denise? Bob? Robin Daly? But you know what it's supposed to look like. That's not satisfactory.
I was.
Still not in the car. You got to drive. Daryl? Lynette? Anita? Ferguson, excuse me. Adrienne? Joanne, Diane, Brad, yes sir, Sue, Marion, Greg, Carol, Ken Gensler, Marcus, Annette, Corey, Carol Kinsler, Rob, Betsy, you haven't been well, have you? You have a few days to... Drop me a note when you get it, okay? Faye. Nan. Barbara. Rita. Philip. Doris. Anita. Shelly, Marcy, Bob, no mirror though, Keith Wilson, Tom Wilson. Okay, now we'll see how you did after a brief warm-up exercise, which you can stand for. If we can stand, please stand.
Thank you.
Who sang the lowest note all the way down that last chord? Who sang down there? Anybody? Wow, you almost be sick. That was a, yeah, it was a D flat. There's nothing in it except for the checks for your last assignments. Okay, so let's hear King in his beauty. Do that much only on an ah vowel. Sing ah on the first chord. Ah. Your ah. Work on getting your lips energized. You hear every day. Your ah is all wrong. Huh? Again, all the entire sing on the first chord. After beauty. Of all places, don't breathe there. Now, I haven't taught you catch breathing yet, but the rule of thumb is never breathe between words, only during words. So obviously you have to breathe during long notes. And everybody does not breathe at once, one catch breathing. Or you have what is known in the industry as a fade-out. And we don't want one of those, do we? So you need to breathe during a word. Now what I might do sometimes, if I have to catch breathe, is I'll start the word, I'll fade out quickly, and I won't come back in until the consonant. And then I'll start up with the consonant of that word again, right there. That's how I always catch it. Like I might sing it like this. The king in his beauty has won. Like that. See? And if I'm the only one doing it, no great loss. If everybody did that, it would be a great loss. But you see, that's early in the phrase. I don't wait till I'm out of air to catch breath. I find a spot in the phrase where it's unlikely when everyone else will breathe, because usually who I sing with are people who wait till they're out of breath, and then gulp some in between some words at the wrong place. And that's not the way to do it. But, of course, that phrase I should be able to sing all of it. But what I usually do is I find a place actually early in the phrase that I know I'm not going to be able to complete and breathe there, not later in the phrase when the power is beginning to wane because some people forgot to catch breathe. Yes? No. And the reason is because what you do then is you just phrase differently. If you have real long phrases that you just can't sing, you bust them up somehow. And then you all phrase them the same way. There's been a few exceptions. I remember Chris Walters' trio used to sing one song at the end. They had this long, 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 long last group of chords at the end of this piece. And they had all these chord changes. And so they were all breathing at different times during this thing, all on the same word. And the way they did it was actually quite successful. But that's a rare exception. Also, the style of music allowed for it. And most of the time, we don't allow that style of music in our church. So, without further ado, remember, don't breathe there. Now, have I made my point clear? Have you marked your music successfully so you will never breathe there again? As long as we both shall live. One, two, three. We're still on pause. Sing it all on O. One, two, three. I hear what I'm planning over here. Some of you are going too far down. You relax on downgoing passages. And when you relax, you go farther down than you're supposed to. One, two, three. How was that conclusion? Oh, I heard it. It's oh. Just stop, don't. Oh. Coming unglued at the seams, yes.
What was the part of the drum you were talking about with the baseball ball? Open our mouth wider than
No, what happens is this. There's two things that can go wrong.
I think I know what you're trying to say. What happens is this. If you open your mouth too wide without properly setting your palate and back, it'll sound like this. Ah, ah, oh, ah. You sound like one of those thin little radio speakers that has no guts, you know. And the other thing that you can do is open up the back too much and keep your mouth too closed. And that was an ah. Now, if you lift the palate, and then open the mouth enough, this is a monster sound that none of us will ever use. You know, what are you going to do with that? But we all got it in there somewhere. If you get everything shaped right, you can, I mean, I mean, that is a perfectly legitimate choral tone that would totally, that would be the loudest thing in our entire 150-voice choir. Now, if all of us knew how to do that, we would be a formidable musical force. See, we usually sing this nice lyric, butterflies and sparrows, you know. I mean, none of us has come across like, you know, 16 gorillas coming across the savannah, you know. But that voice is in all of us if we just know how to make it work. Usually if you could try to sing along, it comes out, ha! You know, this undone quality, you know. The king in his beauty has won, you know, my heart. That's usually what happens. But they're getting just stare back. They laugh. Little kids don't bother me when half of the Bible College administration office starts to stare through those windows. Right? See, I'm normally quite shy. It's really devastating. It's true, that's my wife. I would never do that in public. So you see, there's a whole lot more tone. Now, obviously, that was a fortissimo, the one I gave to you that's supposed to sound right. But to have a fortissimo in your range that is under control is very beneficial to musical expression. Also, to have a pianissimo in your range that is under control. And most pianissimos are, you know, they sound like the wind blowing through the trees. That's an ah. The king in his beauty has won my heart. And a clear pianissimo that is sung with support. Now, I don't know if I can do it. I've been sick, you know, but maybe I can try one. Try to do it in the tenor range. Someone's upstaging my pianissimo. The king in his beauty not very loud.
You're busy. Go away.
It's a serious Bible college class, isn't it? Yes.
You have people storming to get into this class next semester. Now, that's a huge dynamic range. And to remain control between those two. Now, I will be the first to admit, on the platform, I can't always do that. Either one. Because the tendency is to oversing, or, you know, to be so hyperventilated, to maintain control of a pianissimo is totally out of character of our choir. But there are moments. They are rare moments, but there are moments. Moments like the altar call at Gospel and Song. Very important time to know how to control a pianissimo. And we're talking about expression, we're talking about vowels. If your vowels don't remain properly shaped and properly focused, pianissimo is, you know, dead in a doornail. And fortissimo is totally out of control. So to learn that means a lot of you need a lot of time in front of the mirror to get that exact shape and sound so that you can go from, take a chord on, take the first chord of this piece, sing ah. Very good. Thank you, tenors, for bringing the ladies in key. And what, that was interesting because you had to take your pitch from their pitch tenor, and you were in tune. Brain, girls, not the voice, brain. Intonation is a function of the mind. Now, that really puts a lot of us on the carpet to get our brains operating with that much concentration. And I don't mean that as a joke at all, because we're not a people that is used to in-depth concentration and using our minds, unless you have a job that requires significant concentration of some sort. And you don't dare break your train of thought type thing. Maybe sometimes when you're studying you do, but it's not normal for us to put our minds into that function. We are a spectating people, right? We are fed. I mean, it does not take tremendous amount of concentration to run the average microwave oven, you know, or anything else. It doesn't. Most of the functions that we do, except some of you gentlemen, or maybe some of the ladies, may have a job requiring tremendous concentration. You don't dare lose your concentration. But most of us don't have that, myself included. Except some things that I do require tremendous concentration, and one of them is singing. And if I don't concentrate, it shows. Now, by that, I don't mean concentrating on the mechanics of singing when I'm trying to be anointed. But if I don't concentrate on the pitch and memorize it and force my mind to go to that pitch, I'll sing just as far out of tune as the next guy, maybe farther. I don't mean it's a joke that it's difficult for us when I say mental, because it's something we're not used to. And pitch isn't an automatic function of singing. It's not. Learning good pitch is learning how to hear it in your ear, recognize it, identify the pitch center, set your mind to that, and have your mind tell your voice to go there. And your voice will follow, unless you're tremendously tired or ill or have no. But even then, as soon as you hear your voice is out of tune, you can a lot of times adjust it right into pitch because your mind's there. Now, if you're extremely tired, even with all the concentration in the world, and keep trying to bring it into pitch center, it's very difficult to sing in tune sometimes. But extremely tired, I mean, is extremely tired. I mean, to the point that you should be in bed or in a sanitarium, you know, losing a few nights' sleep and, you know, working late last night and maybe your voice being kind of tired from singing a service the night before. Those are not real reasons to be constantly out of tune. Those are reasons to start out of tune, but you can get back in tune. And you, at that point in time, you simply push harder to make sure you're clear. Intonation. Everyone sing a pianissimo clear. 1, 2, 3. Now, a pianissimo attack is quick and precise. As a fortissimo attack, it just isn't hard. It's light.
breath support the same thought and does the same level. No. Same. Changes here. Changes here. Your shape may change as you go up in your range. As you go up, the palate should sit more and the jaw should go down. But as far as from louder to soft, now, when you start to go to fortissimo, you may open some because you're going to open up more and back. You have to make space for it all to get out. But the actual shape doesn't change. It may enlarge as you grow louder, but you don't close the shape to sing softly. Uh-huh. That's the force of habit. See, and to learn to sing pianissimo, we need to learn to sing the proper shape, a nice, rich, round sound, supported soft. Here. Sir? Here. Support here. That ah-ah-ah is a result of lack of control in the throat. See, some of us have learned to utilize a throat vibrato and can control it, soft or loud. Some of us have it naturally and don't know how to control it. I don't know if you, only a few of you probably do, but when Sandy Burnham, now Du Bois, first came to our assembly, she had the fastest, wildest vibrato you ever heard. Just, I mean, you get nervous. She has, with effort and with maturity, gain control of that thing. And now it is a useful expressive tool. But it used to just be really a gonger. It just... It really go. And therefore, it didn't mesh chorally. Now she meshes chorally marvelously, has fantastic expression, fantastic tone, and it's not totally shot, but it was a throat, larynx or pharynx vibrato that was out of control. You can learn to control those. And the way you do it is to start singing straight. And then add it gradually. That is a very supported tone. Let's see if I can do this. I don't know if I can do this or not. I'll try. Blah. I'm nervous. You make me nervous. Can't do it. I'm adding too much volume. But I'm trying to add a little bit and then more until it gets to be too much. But I don't know how to sing with too much unless I go, whoa, like that. You can watch that one. You know. Mm-hmm. Yes. That is lack of support. And if you're grabbing with muscles down here, like you're getting ready, you know, for a takedown in wrestling or something, you're wrong. See, you're dead wrong, and you're fighting against the singing muscles so they can't support. And only men would have that problem. Girls don't have it. But I've seen men do this. When you say tighten, you know, use your diaphragmatic muscles. What they do is they tighten the solar plexus. It's like, you know, they're about ready to be punched. And that is in direct opposition to the muscles that should be energized. And so be careful of that, especially when you go pianissimo. I had that problem when I was studying oboe as a ninth grader. When they'd say support, I just immediately tightened those muscles. And I couldn't no more support a tone than fly. And finally, one day when I was a sophomore in high school, it just clicked. All of a sudden, I could support a tone. I don't know why. Good. And then after that, I started singing. Started singing when I was a sophomore in high school. Before that, I played oboe. Yes. That because we're singing so loud and so much that we just keep taking these big gulps of breath between two short phrases instead of using our breath for full length. It is common. In fact, a couple of people I know have vertigo on the platform because they're hyperventilating. You can get a little dizzy. Yeah, it's kind of whoopee. What happens if you start getting dizzy and you're hyperventilating, just start singing softer.
Start singing softer and sing out your whole phrases. Don't gulp for air. And you and see what happens is like we talked about before. Take a big deep breath, and then you release it all in the first three notes. The King in His beauty, and then you finally end to a supported tone, because it's natural for the body. When you take a big breath, it wants to release it immediately. It doesn't. It burns to hold too much air in your lungs, and so when you over inflate your lungs, the natural man, the natural body wants to deflate the lungs immediately. That's normal. And the body only overinflates during times of stress and more necessary oxygen, like when you're running and things like that. But then it inflates and deflates very rapidly to saturate the blood with oxygen for the greater demand. So when you're just singing, you go up to the platform and stand there, the body does not naturally want to overinflate. So you overinflate, and then you hold it. The body is saying, hold on, Jose, I want to get rid of this stuff, see? Because then it knows that it's going to oversaturate and it's going to cause the brain to go dingy. So it naturally wants to, this is technical terms, of course, medical, it causes dizziness and too much oxygen and what is known as a redout. And so it wants to deflate so that it doesn't oversaturate the blood with oxygen. So you're fighting against a natural desire of the body. When you take a reserved breath, and then to set the breath, and then to sing on that breath a clear tone and not let out more than you want to. But if you can learn to control a breath for a whole phrase instead of letting out too much, then the body will begin to settle into this necessary thing. But what happens is we take a big breath, let a lot out. The King in His beauty. And then we have to breathe again because we let it all out so fast. And so we're doing this. We're breathing in quickly, letting it all out in two or three notes, finding a quick spot to grab some more, and we're doing this, and we're overinflating and deflating to the point that we're saturating our blood with too much oxygen, resulting in wangos. And that's the problem. So if you have that natural tendency to let out too much air on the first few notes, you've got to work on it until that habit is broken. And most people, especially sopranos, have that habit. They really have that habit. So over-singing can cause it too for the same reason. You're ingesting too much air. Ingesting? Sounds like a jet engine. Yeah. And we're going without a break. But usually you will find that dizziness will occur early in a song service, not later. Because once you get going in a song service, your body is requiring more oxygen because of the energy expended. But when you first get started, you haven't expended that much energy. The body hasn't realized that, hey, we're in this thing in the physical sense of the word. And so it doesn't need that much oxygen. But as you begin to go more physically and use up more energy and the heat rises and what have you, you begin to need more oxygen. And so about your breathing becomes about equal to the need of the body as you're singing, because singing is physical work and causes your body to need more energy, more oxygen. Now, that was all very good. However, we're off the subject by about a half a mile. But that's all right. This is all part of all this. Learning to sing with a proper choral tone on vowel shapes that we can eventually, hopefully, before the semester is out, put consonants to. Right? We will do that. Maybe in a month or two, but we'll do that. No. Hopefully, next week, we can start talking about consonants and energy. But I want your vowels all clear. Now, we've sung this on ah and o. And the reason I did that is to give you a sense of richness and roundness. Now, for instance, let's take the first chord again and sing ah, ah, which is the vowel actually is. Incidentally, for your sake today, I'm playing this a half step flat. So as you sing it clear. Sing ah. Crescendo. 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 Pretty good. Didn't lose control. Okay, sing ah, ah. Now sing it. Same chord. Don't reattack the pitch. Ready? Okay, let's try the piece. One, two, three. We're singing vowels only. It's just eh. Doc, we're used to in the way we talk, especially you Midwesterners. Cain. Cain. The king in his beauty. And king is a different vowel than he is. And he is. King and he is. That's ea. That's like ea, Asher, ea.
One, J. All you Southerners. One, two, three.
Try it with the consonants attached.
One, two, three.
Practice that oo sound with a mirror with about an opening about that big on oo. Right now, the opening is about big enough to put a needle through. No sound can escape from that side of an opening.
That's a big opening.
One, two, three.
Thank you. on the eve, that was getting better. It looked like you were trying something new. It's getting better. Good. And that was better. What? Yeah, well, that could have been part of it. And Bob, that was a better attempt. That was better. Okay, let's try the phrase again. The time we want to come away section. Don't blow it there, huh? 1, 2, 3. Increase your volume.
But it's a lousy choral.
Come away. Whatever did you sing? What do you sing?
Way.
I guess you have that nice low part.
Way.
Because you're trying to get it.
Way.
Thank you. Now, Greg, something you need to do is put on the mirror.
You're working hard, and I really appreciate it. Now, in this vowel shape, A, this thing can come away. Well, that tongue up there, filling up the space, is reserved for tone. And we want tone, not tongue. So, I want you to go home and work on trying to hear and reach spatially this sound. Big space back in that sound. Sound. Lacking space in back. Listen and try some experiments with your voice and see what you can change.
And then try things in class, and as I hear things, perhaps I can say, yes, that's it, no, that's not it. See, when I give these vowel instructions, don't hesitate to try new ideas on yourself in class. Mm-hmm. New shapes and things like that. Hey! I don't know. Well, try different things, and I can listen, like I caught that with Greg just in, and then with Bob and a different one. And I can see things, oh, no, I'll try this. Or, yes, that's better. Well, that's improved. Now, that's blending there. See, I can see, but if you go continue in the same as you are, none of us are going to change. Right? And then all I can recommend is intensive vocal humiliation class next semester for you. But take advantage of our rehearsals to try different things. And you know you've got something right, don't change it. But if I say, sopranos, you're too thin on the ears, and like that, well, try something that's, you know, try something radically different. See, the thing is, with voice, especially with vowel shapes and tonal production and stuff like that, minuscule alterations in shape feel like a half a mile. Like when I tell people, drop your jaw. It feels like it's near their ankles. It does. It feels funny. We used to say this, I haven't said this for a long time, but we used to say this in music classes, that if you feel like you must look rather strange, you're getting close to correct. Because it feels very funny. Compared to speaking, especially if you're new at singing. And even if you're not new at singing, you went through high school chorale and you went through college chorale and you sang in church choir. I have watched college choirs all sing like a bunch of dummies up there because they have never been taught how properly to do it. They just people that like to sing so they get together and sing music. And then they get a great score. That's not an education. That's an entertainment. And so you may have sung a lot, but you may have very improper habit pattern. You do know about any habit, whether it's tapping your fingers on the table or scratching the top of your bald head, and it's sort of their heart break. And so you've got to continually work at doing it the new way and never relax or you'll go back to the old way. Right? Sir. Put it down at the bottom of your jaw. Relaxing at the back of your bottom teeth. You can draw it back. I don't know what I do. I never watch my tongue. Well, I do this with my tongue. But I keep the back of it down as much as possible. To keep the top of the palate open. So otherwise, if you get your tongue too far back, you have what is known as a swallowing tone.
The king in his beauty.
And that's inappropriate. Or you can, there's other things you can do with your palate to get a swallowing tone. Like, I don't know if I can do it now. Sandy and I were just talking about this the other day in the hallway. And what she is doing, incidentally, that is really good in the intensive vocal training classes, if you want to enhance the training you get in this class, is she is working with individual voice problems and giving all kinds of methodology for working with specific kinds of voices that need to be altered to fit into a choral setting, like a swallowing tone, a brassy tone, the different kinds of less than acceptable tones for choral ministry. And when she finds different voices like this in her classes, which we hope she does because that's why those classes are there, she gives all kinds of methodology. And as she's teaching this person what to do, everybody's taking notes, see? And then when she gets in one of these voices again, she says, all right, now what do we do for this voice? Which, if you're ever a music ministry leader someplace, you need to know. You need to know how to deal with specific kinds of voices. I don't take a lot of time in this class to do that. Now, I've mentioned like things for Terry to try because she has a very brilliant voice. I've mentioned things for Greg to try. He has a very brilliant voice. And they don't blend automatically. They need to alter their tone to blend chorally. And we haven't had a lot of, quote, problem voices or difficult to blend voices, which would be more correctly to say, because nobody has a problem voice. Your voice is just fine. It's how you alter it to make it fit in different circumstances. But we don't spend a lot of time dealing with the methodology of that. So if you want to increase your information, you might consider, if you haven't had, even if you have had, maybe repeating one of those classes as your time permits. I don't want to suggest that people spend all their time in the music classes. I don't believe that. I believe this is a Bible college, not a school of music. But if you've graduated or you've completed a long period of course of study and you want to concentrate for, 6 months or a year on developing these areas, don't hesitate. Those of you, however, that especially the gentlemen that are trying to get their degrees, maybe their first or second degree, please keep in mind the balance between music classes and your theology classes, because I don't want to ever become competitive with a theology program. Dave Barnett works very hard, incidentally, at finding places for my classes so that it will minimize that competition, which I appreciate. Was there any questions? Was there a hand? I thought I saw a hand. Okay, the bell is going to ring in about, I was going to say 2 seconds, but I would have been late. So, you are dismissed, and I've got a dash to the West Campus. You'll be there by 11. Yes, it's from here. Oh, the words came from an experience that David Wilkerson had and related in a newsletter.